The reading is again from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. The darkness turns to light. Now, we've had this theme for a number of weeks now, and I think I'm starting to get the light. It did, however, make me realise that the light has many hues. And I will remember at a Christmas service in this church many years ago, led by Don Batley. A number of you remember Don Batley. When the church was lit by candles as people entered the church for the service. This is a midnight service. And so the church was initially lit by candlelight only, and then at midnight, the lights were put on, and the difference is quite dramatic. And it led Don to spontaneously exclaim how easy it was for people to be led by a dim light and think that was the norm, when in point of fact, the real light is something a lot more brighter and lighter and able to guide you. And we can sometimes very easily be led astray by a dim light, thinking it is the real light. But anyway, now the reading. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar crossing their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness for that time and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm just going to draw us together, and I'm going to invite Rob Tor to come up. So last week we had Mark Huang preaching. Does everyone remember? People were here. Mark and Rob and also Tim Russell and Hayden and Victoria are all part of our crew that are currently in the discernment process for ordination in the Anglican Church, which is really exciting. That's a long, drawn-out process, but it's a process that's really thorough. Part of that process is we're giving some leadership training and responding to the gifts that they've got. Rob has been ministering for many years, and up until the end of this year, he's the congregational leader out at St. John's Matarawa, which is the church on the way to Fielding. As part of his discernment process, we've got Rob coming into town so that he can be doing some more ministry here with us, and we can be closer knit for that. So it is my pleasure to welcome you up and to pray for you before you preach. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to open your word and to hear your voice speaking. And we ask that you would bless Rob. You bless him and all that he's prepared, that he would speak your gracious and kind and wonderful word to us. And Lord, I praise you for all of the experience and study that Rob has got, the years of theology that he's studied, and I ask that you'd anoint all of those pieces, that they would come together to speak to our hearts, that we would be transformed by this time. So come, Holy Spirit, and speak. For your children are listening.
Amen. Good morning, you've heard I'm Rob. That's my good wife, Louise. It's good to be back in the main body at Christchurch. We've been out of the main body for about 3 years. Now, I want an honest opinion. Who rushed to get to church this morning? Come on. Now, come on, be a little bit more honest here. You know, you have the best intentions and things go wrong and things start to fail and we start to rely on our own self. I just want you to relax today. I just want you to sit in the pew or sit at home and think, what is God putting on my heart today? What is Jesus saying to me? Because that's why we come together as a body. We come together as a body to fellowship together, to build each other up. And so I pray that what I preach today might go into your heart and you might take one thing away. The most important thing that I want you to do today is I want you to share that one thing within 72 hours. Because if you don't share it in 72 hours, it's gone. We get busy, we have busy lives. So please be aware that whatever God has put on your heart to maybe do or say, that you share it in love with someone else. I just want to recap some of the information that's been covered by Isaiah the prophet. And he prophesies way into the future with his vision. He prophesies about Christ who will reign on David's throne over his kingdom and establish justice and righteousness forever and ever and ever. And Isaiah was talking about a king, and they literally took him at that stage about a king. But he wasn't talking about the king on the throne after King Ahaz, who was known to be an adulterer, but Christ, who would come and reign forever and ever and ever. And as I did my research, the name Isaiah comes from the Hebrew Yeshua Yahuwah, and it's shortened Yeshaya, which means Yahweh is salvation. Isn't God good when he gives us names? Hence you have the book of Isaiah. The name provides an excellent summary of this book and the text today of God being our Savior and God loving us. I'm going to jump in on verse 6 is what I've honed in on today. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In this verse, Isaiah carefully shows us the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three, yet amazingly one God, a God that loves each and every one of us. So let's just break that down a little bit. God the Son. For unto us a child is born, to unto us a son is given, and we shall know that this was referring to the birth of Jesus Christ, or to God's Son. So why was that so important? Well, without the birth of Jesus, there are no disciples. And without the birth of Jesus, there's no death on the cross of Jesus. And without the death of Jesus, there's no forgiveness of sins. And do you notice that the Son was not just born simply to reveal a Jewish birthday on that day? The Bible says, to us, a son is given. Well, the good news is that this son, in the form of Rob right here, was given to my mum and dad, Margaret and Douglas Torr. And although I like to think I was a pretty easygoing baby, my mother has some other stories about me. But you know, I was only given to them. To look after, to nurture, and to educate. And yet, the Son of God was given to whom? He's given to us all right from birth. Now, if Jesus was given to all of us, God in his infinite wisdom knew that sinful people here on earth, right then and now, needed a Savior to grow up into a man, and although sinless, to die on a cross of Calvary. For whose sin? For yes, my sin. For yes, your sin. For our sin. Why? To set us free. However, Jesus did not only set us free, he taught us how we should live. So Jesus, or God the Son, came to earth to not only die on a cross, but to create a way of salvation. No Jesus, no cross, no cross, no salvation, no salvation, eternal hell. So that's Jesus, God the Son. Well then, what about the second entity, God the Father? And the verse continues, he'll be called Mighty God. Well, here we're introduced to God the Father. And as much as I believe my dad was a fantastic person who did influence my life, as a counselor in my profession, I get it that there are dads out there who destroy and have destroyed people's lives. And so the scripture is very clear that God the Father, he's a mighty God. The Greek word for mighty is ischurios, meaning strong, of living beings, strong either in body or mind. Thus, this is a mighty God who's known to us as God the Father, but he is strong in both mind. And the Hebrew word of this is gibor, which translates strong and mighty. They add an extra little bit into that. So, Father God is strong and mighty. Now, a great character, you'll know him. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Great. Great in his movies. Great in his build. Physically strong. All those muscles. However, he's not mighty because he's not all knowledgeable. He's got a great body, but that's about it. Made a lot of money. But he's not all knowledgeable. Like my God and your God. You see, this mighty God created the earth that we live in, the animals we love, the fish in the sea, and he created you. This is might. God didn't make a mistake with you. He created you because he loves you so very much. And I like to think when I was born, God said, and it was good. And you know, he said that about you as well. That's the God we love to serve. That's the God that loves you and cares for you. And the Bible also tells us in Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14, for you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. Therefore, if God the Father put us together in our mother's womb, he knows us intimately. He knows our every thought. He knows our every thought. So this mighty God, God the Father, who's all knowledgeable, chooses to know each and every one of us individually. He knows you. He knows whatever you're going through today. He knows you right here, right now. Let's look at a few more characteristics of this heavenly God. We're told in Philippians 4, verse 19, that God is truly a provider. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. God, our Father, the provider. And the heavenly God also keeps his promises. We read in John 3, 16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God our Father doesn't lie. God always keeps his word. And he made a plan for us, you and me, to have eternal life, eternal salvation. This heavenly God is always present, always near, and knows us intimately. And this is one of my favorite Psalms, that 139, 1 to 10. I want you just to listen to this and just put yourself into the Psalm. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know me when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hear me in behind and before you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to obtain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the highest heavens, there you are. And if I make my bed in the depths, there you are. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me fast. This is a God that loves you so, so much. God the Father, who knows each one of us intimately. He's always present and he's always there for you and for me. And then we say this in church, our Father, Father God in heaven. Jesus, when asked how to pray, teaches us the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, verse 9 to 13. Our Father who in heaven, hallowed be your name. Isn't that wonderful? Our Father in heaven. And sometimes I find I only take out the great scriptures out of the New Testament. But the Old Testament is all about the coming of the Lord. And so in Psalm 27, verse 5, shows God as a God of refuge. He will keep me safe. He will keep me safe. My God is my refuge. Psalm 146, verse 7 to 9, shows God as the God of goodness. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But he frustrates in the way of the wicked. You see, these are only a few scriptures on God the Father. Let's get back into the New Testament. We also read in terms of the Father. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's from John 14, verse 6. Thus we access God, the Father, through Jesus, the Son. God, the Father, God the Son. Remember I said to you, it's a Trinitarian God, three parts. And so God the Holy Spirit. Back to verse 6. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor. Now Jesus is actually called the Counselor as he knows God and he knows the counsel of God and is seen as a great counselor of the church and of all his people. However, the word Wonderful Counselor here also refers to the Holy Spirit. I myself am a counselor. I'm found within one of the schools. And there are many counselors outside of education as well. Note the word again in verse 6. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor. There is no a wonderful counselor. So if you're not a wonderful counselor, you are the Wonderful Counselor. And this is reiterated through John 16, verse 7, where Jesus talks about the Counselor. The Counselor creates meaning of only one. And the only Counselor, the Counselor, is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus goes around and he chooses his 12 disciples and he spends time with them. They give up their daily jobs and they leave everything and they follow him. And this seems to be all fine until we're reaching the final stages of Jesus' ministry here on earth. And in John chapter 16, Jesus explains to the disciples that yes, life is not going to be the same when he leaves them. And yet Jesus also explains that leaving them will actually be to their advantage. Put yourself in those disciples. How did they feel? They're probably thinking, so you're leaving us. I left my job. How is this to my advantage? You can kind of hear them saying, tell me, can you not see you leaving us? Where does that leave me? We gave up everything, and now you're just abandoning us. But back in John 14, verse 16, Jesus says that he will ask the Father to send another counselor, someone exactly the same as Jesus. And what Jesus is talking about is the Holy Spirit. And we read in John 16, verse 7, nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away, because if I don't go away, the counselor will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you. And Jesus doesn't stop there. And the disciples were probably a bit confused about Jesus and who he was sending them, and perhaps worried about when he left, would they get it right? What would they do? What would they know? Would they remember? It's called being human. And we read further in John 15, verse 28, Jesus explains to the disciples, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So Jesus is not just disappearing. He's leaving the Holy Spirit to teach us in his ways. And the Holy Spirit is always available to us as Christians, 24/7, constantly guiding us. John 14, verse 16 states, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, a counselor, to help you and be with you forever. In the Greek word, it's really important that we look at this, for another is elos, which means the Holy Spirit would be exactly the same as Jesus in every way. Elos, the same in every way. Jesus is therefore telling his disciples that the Holy Spirit is just like him. So if the Holy Spirit is within us and with us, so Jesus is inside of us and with us each and every day. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is there to lead us and guide us in everything. Remember what the early followers of Jesus did? Yes, they went out after his death and resurrection. They healed the sick, they cast out demons, and they showed love to strangers. Why? Jesus had left this earth. However, the Holy Spirit was guiding the followers of Jesus as to what they should be doing. And Jesus says at the end of John 14, verse 16, he will be with you forever. What does that mean? I'm not on my own. I am never, ever on my own. The Holy Spirit, the Counselor, will always be with us constantly and continually working in our lives on a daily basis. The Holy Spirit is always there for you and for me. My daughter is 23. She would have been a baby at the time. I was admitted to hospital with a liver complaint. We were doing extensive renovations on our house. And during that prolonged recovery period in hospital, I woke up one morning, and as I got out of bed, I fell to the ground. I could not feel my legs. Scared, sure. Young baby and stressed out Louise. That wasn't a good diagnosis for me. Despite vast testing, both here and in Wellington, we never found what the cause was. Was I scared? Sure. Was I angry? Sure. Why me? What have I done, God? Have you left me, God? What's the matter? what's the matter, Rob? You're just talking about me, 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 me. Did it help me one little bit? No. And yet I spoke to the Holy Spirit and I clearly remember it. Please, please guide me. Please look after me. And the only scripture in all that time that came, be still and know that I'm God. You must know when your mind is racing and you don't have a future as a man and you've got a young baby and a wife and you hear God, be still and know that I'm God. Well, after I got over myself and started reflecting on what did that mean, a few days later, I rested in God and I heard the next part of that scripture. For I am the God that healeth thee. Be still and know that I'm God, Rob. For I'm the God that healeth thee. And rehab was tough. Learning to walk again is tougher. I appreciate babies when they bum shuffle. I know what that's all about. However, the Holy Spirit was always there. Especially at night when I felt like a failure as a husband and a father. I am the God. I am the God that healeth thee. And today I walk. However, I listen to the Holy Spirit very carefully as a counselor and as a man and as a child of God. Because the Holy Spirit is always there, no matter what we're going through. So no matter what you're going through and your situation today, the Holy Spirit is with you. It is He who took control of me and my situation. The Holy Spirit is that small voice inside that reassures us, calms us down, protects us, comforts us, just like a good counselor would do. So as I listen to the Holy Spirit, and from my experience, I can only encourage each and every one of you to take time out of your busy day. Take time out of the busy schedule. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. And then go out and do it. Or just take time out to receive the love and care from the Holy Spirit in the service today. We all know that all that Isaiah predicted came to pass. And we reiterate it in some of our Anglican services, in the Nicene Creed. It's 4:10 of the Anglican prayer book, for those of you that are a little bit like the prayer book. We believe in one God, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. And here's the best part. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, and according with the scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. In other words, forever and ever and ever and ever. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in the unity of the Father and Son is worshipped and glorified and has spoken through the prophets. Now we know from the Bible, Jesus, God the Son, was crucified, died and buried and rose again to forgive our sins. He lives and reigns with God the Father. The Counselor, or the Holy Spirit, was and is left for us and dwells amongst us today. The Holy Spirit isn't just in the church on a Sunday. The Holy Spirit is present with us throughout every day. So the Holy Spirit is always with us, helping us to do the will of God, the Father, convicting us of our sins and accomplishing His work for us right here on earth. And it's this Counselor, or God, the Holy Spirit, who walks with us daily, providing support, reassurance, and relief. So many years ago, a prophet Isaiah predicted the birth of Christ, and this came to pass. God allowed his death and his resurrection for our sins, And Jesus, when he left us a wonderful counselor here on earth to teach us, to love us, to care for us, and remain with us now and forever. God truly is a Trinitarian God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Truly a prophecy of long ago, given by a man of God, has changed the course of history forever. Let us pray. I take this from the late Dr. Reverend John Scott. He's an English Anglican priest and a theologian, and he wrote the following prayer, which he'd pray every morning. Good morning, Heavenly Father. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, I worship you as the creator and sustainer of the universe. Lord Jesus, I worship you, Savior and Lord of the world. Holy Spirit, I worship you, sanctifier of the people of God. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, I pray that I might live this day in your presence and please you more and more. Lord Jesus, I pray that this day I may take up my cross and follow you. And Holy Spirit, I pray that this day you will fill me with yourself and cause your fruit to ripen in love. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Holy, blessed, and glorious Trinity, three persons in one God, have mercy upon me. Father, I pray that these words would echo more and more and grow to be part of us each and every day. Amen.